Pictures of practice. Exploring soil types and plants. 7 and 10-year-olds from Esikasini Primary School in Pretoria, South Africa. Kabiswani Trezi teaches second grade at the Esikasini Primary School, a government school in Atteridgeville, Pretoria. During a well-attended family event about playful learning, Kabiswani serves as MC. She begins by apologizing to the audience, some of whom are former students. When you were in school, I didn't teach this way. I now know how to make school more fun. Her colleague, Nambafuti Chiwani, who teaches natural science and technology to students in grades 4 through 7, then shares a story from her classroom illustrating what playful learning in school can look like. The evening ends with Kabiswani facilitating an amicable conversation among families and educators about how they can all support their children's learning. According to Nambafuti, what makes Esikasini special is the unity. We are like brothers and sisters. We argue, we fight, but we are like family. We support each other. Indeed, Kabiswani and Nambafuti and their colleagues work together to support a pedagogy of play characterized by educators leading their teaching, exploring the unknown, and being joyful in their work. Despite teaching up to 50 children per class and the requirement to follow the K-12 national curriculum, which educators describe as packed and rigid, Kabiswani and Nambafuti provide their students ongoing opportunities for playful learning. The two examples that follow highlight this kind of teaching. Teaching that promotes ownership, curiosity, and enjoyment, a marked difference from the typical pedagogy in South Africa. Exploring soil types in grade 2. The national curriculum for grade 2 includes lessons on the uses and properties of different types of soil. To help students get into a playful mindset, Kabiswani opens the lesson on sand, clay, and loam with song and dance. As the children move and sing, smiles appear on their faces. Dancing over, the children return to their seats, sitting in groups of 4 to 6 at clusters of desks. Kabiswani first focuses the lesson on the sand, asking, "What is sand used for?" Students' answers include planting vegetables and building sandcastles. She then asks students to help distribute small piles of sand to each small group. As the material is shared, Kabiswani encourages her learners to touch and play with the sand. This sensory experience produces conversation and smiles, with students discussing where sand is found, its properties, such as its feel and its weight, and what it can be used for. Having satisfied some curiosity and made some discoveries about sand, the students move to considering clay. Their learning follows a similar pattern. The class first discusses what clay might be used for before receiving a small piece of clay to explore. Again, Kabiswani asks the students to consider how the clay feels in their hands and to describe its qualities. They consider similarities and differences between the clay and the sand. She then challenges the children to fashion a nose out of the clay. Animated conversations and laughter erupt as children place their creations over their actual noses and discuss what it is like to work with clay. Continuing to explore how the material holds its shape and can be manipulated, Kabiswani offers a new challenge, creating a shoe. The children share their creations and seek feedback from Kabiswani and each other, inspiring questions and observations such as, "Do you want to add a heel?" and "There's no place to put a foot." Next, Kabiswani offers a collaborative challenge, expanding and pushing their playing with the material. "Put your clay together and let's see what group can make the best shoe." She provides criteria for the model to have a heel and an opening for the foot, and encourages the children to work together. The small groups debate how to create their shoes. Kapaswani's decision to make the collective shoemaking a contest is motivated by an English vocabulary learning goal. The children need help learning ordinal numbers in English, so she decides to include talking about first, second, and third in the lesson. She explains that a visitor to the classroom, pop researcher Koboto Kamalo, will be the judge of the best shoe and that she will pick the first shoe, the number one. Koboto approaches the situation with much drama and seriousness. She carefully examines each shoe, making close observations of what she sees. Fascinated, the children gather around to watch and listen. Koboto explains she will pick the first, second, and third place shoes. She examines the shoes and announces, "I'm choosing." But then she sighs, "Oh, this is so hard." She pauses amidst nervous laughter from the children. She points at a shoe and says, "This one is almost the first." Finally, Koboto announces the first place shoe, and a celebration breaks out as the winning group comes forward to applause. The winners' faces have big smiles. They fist bump each other and hold up the first place sign. The second and third places are announced to further the celebration. The scene is a bit chaotic. Kapaswani begins to chant, 5, 4. By the time she reaches 1, the children have returned to their seats. They look up attentively, ready to learn about a third soil type, loam. Investigating the parts of plants in grade 4. As part of the national curriculum, grade 4 students are expected to learn about the 4 parts of a plant: roots, stems, leaves, and flowers. In many classrooms, this lesson begins in a textbook, with the teacher asking students to read the pages about the parts of plants. Next, the teacher will draw and label the 4 parts of a plant on a blackboard. Students will be asked to recite the information as the teacher points to different parts of the plant. In Nambafuti's class, the lesson on parts of plants begins similarly as she asks learners to look through their textbooks. But after a few minutes, Nambafuti surprises her learners, saying, "Plant scientists, in order to study the 4 parts of plants, we need to collect specimens." She asks students to form small groups and go outside to find a plant to study. After she repeats this information in Tswana, many of her learners' home language, the students excitedly go off searching for a plant to study. A handful of children soon return to the classroom, explaining that they cannot find real plants, that the plants they found lack flowers. Nambafuti suggests they draw on their experience, asking, "Do the plants that you know have flowers all the time?" Answering, "No," the students continue their search. After 10 minutes, all the groups return to the classroom with a plant. Nambafuti asks students to describe their specimens to each other. They are proud of their plants as they point out the leaves, stems, roots, and flowers, some in the bud stage. Some playfully brag that they have the most attractive plant. Nambafuti poses several questions to the class and asks them to discuss in small groups. "What do you notice about these plants? What do all these plants have in common? Looking around the room, where do you see similarities and where do you see differences in your neighbor's plants?" Nambafuti moves around the classroom while students chat, listening in on conversations. Learners are eager to share their observations with her. Nambafuti tells the class that plant scientists often make observational drawings of the specimens they collect. Observing closely, the students make careful drawings of their plants. At the end of the lesson, as in all good scientific communities, students present what they have learned about their plant, pointing out the color of the flowers, the strength of the stems, the veins in the leaves, and the lacy structure of the roots. When examination time comes a month later, Nambafuti is pleased that her students recall far more about the plants than previous classes who had only learned from the book.